You can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to start at the beginning today. For the last 3 weeks, I've been doing a series of lessons on proclaiming the good news, talking about evangelism and how we share our faith in Jesus, giving us some things to think about and how to go about that. We've talked about when the apostles proclaimed the gospel, they told the story of Jesus as the fulfillment and completion of the story of Israel. They told a big story about what God has done throughout human history and will continue to do. And usually when we proclaim good news, we just tell people how to get saved. And which certainly salvation is a part of God's big story, but we focus in on one little slice of it and leave out the story of Jesus. And many times we say some things about Jesus, but we tend to ignore his actual teachings. But we also don't necessarily look at God's big story and where we've come from and where we're going. And what it means that Jesus is king, that there is a kingdom that we're invited into. We talked about a principle last week, and that is what you win people with is what you win them to. We talked about if you win people with a list of rules, then what you win them to is legalism. If you win people with airtight arguments about the correctness of your doctrine, you could possibly just be winning them to a position of religious superiority and pride. Usually, in churches, when we're trying to win people for Jesus, what we've won people with is a way to save them from the fires of hell or from the wrath of God. And what we can end up winning them to is just a system of self-preservation. That we just appeal to their desire for fire insurance. But missing the vision of life in Jesus and life in the kingdom of heaven. But we're striving to teach people that Jesus is king, to help them be captured by the power and brilliance and grace of his teachings. And when you do that, you make a disciple of Jesus. And our goal is to win people to Jesus, not just to some system he set up to deal with their sin problem. We want to win people to Jesus, and we want to tell the story of Jesus. I don't have much time today, so I'm going to try to go fast. I got to go fast. But that's okay, because I'm just going to talk about kind of the beginning of the story and the end of the story. I'm going to skip the whole middle. Jesus said he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that's kind of my model for the sermon today. Skip the middle. Being a parent is one of the great joys of my life. I've wanted to be a parent since I was far too young to be. Parenting, of course, has its challenges, but there's nothing else like it. You know, and that value is something that I wanted to pass on to my kids. So you might imagine how proud I felt when my oldest son, Alex, who was about 3 years old at the time, one day told me, I can't wait to grow up and get married and be a daddy. So these things were rushing through my mind like, I've done a good job. You know, he admires me. He wants to be like me. I'm a daddy, and he wants to be a daddy. And I said, Alex, that's so great. Tell me, why do you want to be a daddy? And he said, I want to be the one that gives the spankings, not gets them. Like, all right. You know, when we're young, we just want to be older. You know, that usually reverses at some point. But really, the deal is we want to be in charge. We want to be the one that gets to call the shots, the one who gets to decide how things are going to go. And there seems to be so little of that when you're young. You know, we there's always a part of us that wants to call the shots and be in charge. We want a realm where our choice matters, where we have a say in things, and where our will impacts what happens. And, you know, a question I want to ask, you know, is that just immature wishful thinking? Or is that how we were designed? Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is in the crowning act of creation in the Genesis story. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.' God said, 'See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." This is God created humankind. He created us to rule over the earth, to have dominion over the earth. God's creation covenant with humankind was that you will be my image bearers, and you will be my co-regents to reign over the earth. We will reign together over the earth. That word "together" is key there. We were always designed to reign with God over the earth. Not separated from God, but reign together in unity with God, to be part of this eternal fellowship of self-giving love that is the Godhead. That we're to reign over the earth, to have dominion, it says. And that is why God created humans, and they all lived happily ever after. Didn't take very long that these humans, these image bearers of God, messed up. And there was brokenness. Sin entered the world, and the people were broken, and creation itself had a brokenness to it. Why did that happen? Because in a radical move, God did something that in hindsight we might say, you know, maybe that was God's one mistake, is that he gave us freedom of choice. God's covenant creation is that humans, you will be my image bearers, and we will reign together over the earth. But it got messed up because they chose to sin. And there was the fall. But we were always meant to reign with God, not separated from God, but to reign with God. God reigns, but a part of God's character, and therefore a part of his reign is that his reign doesn't remove others' ability to choose. And there's a, as I talked about, you know, we there's a part of us that wants to have a say. There's a part of us that wants our choice to matter. And I don't believe it's just immature wishful thinking. Because God, even though God reigns over all, God, a part of being God's image bearers, is that we have choice. And God didn't take that away. And so, now, and God's design for us is not to separate ourselves from God and do whatever we want. But that's a pretty remarkable thing that God says, I want you to reign over the earth with me. In relationship with me, in unity with me. You know, a person who doesn't have any say over anything is really no person at all. If you don't have a say, you've been dehumanized. You know, a sense of having some degree of control over things is now recognized as a vital factor in not only mental but even physical health. Kind of on the spectrum, you can imagine a king that does whatever he wants to do is kind of on one end of the spectrum, and on the other end of the spectrum is a slave who is treated as property, who has no say. Even a prisoner is above a slave. But God, in creating humans who would be God's image bearers, gave us choice. He gave us say, and he gave us a task to do with him. You know, as parents, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, parenting and stuff, but as we raise our kids, ideally there's this progression from when they're very young, we have lots of rules for them, but then our relationship with them needs to progress so that it moves away from rules and toward teaching them to make wise choices. For the relationship to remain healthy, there has to be that transition from rules to making wise choices. We need to, you know, some of our kids are more independent than others. You know, we had one son that was happy always for you to do anything for him. And another that from as soon as he could talk, one of his first phrases was, I do it. But really, as parents, it's healthy for us to let our kids do it, whatever it is, as soon as it's feasible. Because I think sometimes we can think about and talk about parenting in a way that shows that what we think the goal is to raise obedient children. Now, none of us ever prayed for disobedient children, right? But having obedient children is not the goal. We're not here to raise obedient children. We are here to raise responsible adults. The goal is not obedient children. It's responsible adults. And then throughout their lives, we're giving them more and more say in what they do. More and more ability to choose. Because it's something that's intrinsic to what it means to be fully human. And to be made in God's image is that we have choice. God didn't take away our choice. And we can't take away our choice from each other. It is even something. And sometimes you feel like you're walking a tightrope trying to do this. But there's something that's always a challenge for us as parents, is more and more we're letting go. And we're letting our children choose. And letting them live. And letting them take responsibility. And this is a truth about human personality. To be fully human means to have the ability to choose. And that means it's not as safe as we would like it to be. And it's hard to let our children go. Because we think, if they just did what I said, they would be safer. But that's not the goal, to raise kids that are obedient to us. The goal is to raise them in a way that they become responsible themselves. And God created humans to reign over the earth with him, but they messed up. We messed up. We humans messed up. And then the story continues, the part that I'm skipping today, because that's the alpha part now, and we're going to skip all the way to the omega, to the end, in Revelation chapter 22. You can turn over there. As time goes on, God chooses a nation of people, Israel, to, in a sense, be his image bearers. They are his people to the world. They are to bring the good news to the world. And just like Adam and Eve, Israel messed up along the way too. But one of the things that happened in the story of Israel is through them came Jesus. And Jesus was the perfect image bearer of God. And Jesus didn't mess it up. But then Jesus points us to the end of this story, which sounds like to me is kind of the beginning of the next story, whatever that one is. But in Revelation 22, it says, then the angel showed me, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign with him. It talks about here, we began in the garden, and now we end in a city, the New Jerusalem. It's a part of the new heaven and the new earth. And the story that began in the garden and ends in the city culminates with Jesus as the perfect image bearer of God, but Jesus gathering his followers to be in the kingdom of God. And they gather to reign with him, to do what Adam and Eve were designed to do but failed to do, and what Israel was designed to do but failed to do. And there's the vision of it happening, it taking place. God being over all and in all and through all. And these people, these servants of God who see the face of God living out the intention of being bearers of the image of God, and that is reigning together with God. A part of our essential nature is that we have a choice. That's how God made us. This principle, it's woven intrinsically into the gospel story, which started in the garden and ended in the city, the New Jerusalem. And in the kingdom of heaven, God reigns over us without taking away our choice. And the vision is that we reign with God without taking away others' choice. So this principle that's woven into the fabric of God's big story, there's a principle there that the ability to choose is a part of what it means to be fully human. So we have to take that into account in all we do. In life, in friendship, in marriage, in parenting, and certainly in proclaiming good news. We proclaim the good news of Jesus in the Spirit of Jesus. We proclaim the kingdom of God in the Spirit of God, which is to fulfill our purpose of being God's image bearers, being fully human, reigning with God over the new heaven and the new earth eventually. But along the way, we're learning, we're growing, we're being trained in the ways of the kingdom. And that means as we think about how do I evangelize, how do I share my faith, how do I proclaim good news, one of the things it means is that true to the Spirit of God and true to this principle that's woven into God's big story from beginning to end, is we do it without threat, without manipulation, without any other means of trying to control people or take away their choice, because God didn't take away our choice. But God's vision is that we reign over the earth with Him, but we have to do it with God's Spirit, God's character, and that is acknowledging freedom of choice. God bless us as we strive to learn and continue to proclaim good news, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and the apostles and in the way that they did it. Amen.